from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Well, Proposition 38 is also on the ballot in November, and that would increase tax rates on most Californians until the year 2025, mostly to fund public education. Supporters of the proposition say that unlike rival tax initiative Prop 30, which we just heard about, Prop 38 earmarks money specifically for schools, and critics call the measure an unfair tax hike on the middle class that will do nothing about the deep funding cuts already looming for education. Our guests in this forum segment of our ongoing election coverage include Carol Kosovar, who's here with us in studio, president of the California State PTA and a supporter of Prop 38. We welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Daryl Steinberg is with us from Sacramento, California State Senate President pro tem and an opponent of Prop 38. And welcome, Daryl
Steinberg. Good morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you. And we begin with the pro side, as is our general custom. And Carol Kosovar, The polls are running more for Prop 30 than Prop 38, as I'm sure you're well aware. So, and there's even talk that those supporting Prop 38 are, well, spoiling maybe the way Ralph Nader did or something along those lines, what the governor has in mind here. Why support 38 rather than 30?
Well, let me just give you a little bit of background about it. The California State PTA has, for a very, very long time, supported adequate funding for schools and a complete education for all our children. And as we looked at what is happening, and I think everyone knows the severe cuts to schools, we're 47th in the nation. We've had $20 billion worth of cuts to our schools over the last 3 years. We felt that it is time to do something more than what we've done in the past. In the past, we've said no more cuts, no more cuts, no more cuts. And we think it's time to do something that will actually start to restore those programs and services that have been cut from our schools. So we helped write Proposition 38. And the philosophy about it is to have significant additional revenue that goes directly to every single public school in California that will start to restore those programs and services that everyone knows our schools need.
And you're talking about to all local schools, not the districts, right?
It goes to the local school sites based on the number of youngsters who are enrolled at that school site.
And this presumably would be, well, the opportunity to rehire teachers, to guarantee local control, to have music and vocational
right.
education, those
and
kinds
it,
of things.
And it's very clear and straightforward. It says what the funding can be used for. And for example, it can be used to, we've all seen our classes get way too big for our kids and for our teachers. So it can be used, for example, to have a smaller class size. It can be used for more counselors, librarians, school nurses, other support staff at the school. It can be used to pay for the instruction in a lot of the programs that have been cut out of our schools that we know are very, very important for our schools and our children. So art, physical education, science, technology, vocational career education. It can be used to help support English language learners, low-income students, and students with special needs. It also can be used to extend learning time through longer school days or school years for summer school, for preschool, after-school enrichment programs. All the things that we know make up a good school system.
And again, the guarantee is of local control and the strict accountability. In fact, I was interested in reading the proposition saying misuse of funds will mean jail time. That's right in the proposition.
You know, one of the things we wanted to make sure was that since the money is directed to every local school, that those school communities have input in decisions on how that money is spent. And so it requires input from parents and teachers and community members. And then the final decision is made by the elected school board. But they need to talk to those school communities because we believe that our local school communities really know their local schools the best.
Carol Kosovar is president of the California State PTA and a spokesperson for Yes on Prop 38. Daryl Steinberg is California State Senate President pro tem and representing No on 38 this morning on Forum. And Senator Steinberg, the main opposition has to do with splitting the vote, or does it have to do with the fact that there's nothing for community colleges and public universities or nothing to public safety?
Well, both, actually, Michael. I'm less against Prop 38 than I am in favor of a strong, resounding yes vote for Proposition 30, and the two are related because I think, as you said earlier, if both measures happen to pass, the measure with the most votes wins. And if Prop 30 fails or comes in second, there will be an immediate $6 billion of trigger cuts to public education, as John Mockler said earlier. Prop 38's education funding does not kick in until well after those trigger cuts are made. But there's another important reason why Prop 30 is a better and in fact, an essential proposition as opposed to Prop 38, which is well-intended. And in any other time, I think I would probably be a supporter. But I've been at this since 2009 with this budget deficit. And as you know, we've reduced California's deficit from a high of $42 billion to now about single digits. And Prop 30 will balance the budget. Prop 38 will not. Prop 30, is balancing the budget, is not just some esoteric concept as well. When you look at what's been done as a result of necessary cuts over the last 4 to 5 years, ask any college student who's having a tough time getting classes or is paying exorbitant tuition. Ask any of the parents, 14,000 parents who are trying to get child care for their child who can't get it, or 12,500 parents who want preschool for their kids, or the fact that low-income seniors and disabled are receiving benefits now at a 1983 level, in addition to per-pupil funding in the K-12 system going down. We cannot afford the luxury of putting all the money into K-12 education. And in fact, if 30 fails, or if 38 is first and 30 is second, what will happen is not only will the education trigger cuts occur, but there will be another $3.5 to $4 billion hole outside of education, where the cuts I just described a moment ago in other areas of public service will be even worse.
Would that mean that the $6 billion cut would still be in place?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yes, the $6 billion trigger cut goes into effect automatically if Proposition 30 fails, or even if Prop 38 were to pass and gain and have more votes than Prop 30. And that's really the danger here. Prop 38, it, again, is well-intended and would be a measure I could support if California's budget was balanced and we were not having to still deal with some of the cuts, not just to K-12 education, but to some of the other areas as well. And I guess, Michael, it's the difference between representative government, imperfect as it is, and an initiative process which I've used and which I think has its utility, but is sometimes run amok a little bit, because those of us who've been elected, we're not perfect, and Lord knows everyone can point to mistakes, but we have grappled with this deficit. It is down from a high of $42 billion to single digits, and now we have a chance to create fiscal stability so that we can reinvest in education again. But you can't put more money into something, even public education, until you've actually balanced the budget.
Let me open the phone lines now and invite those of you listening to weigh in on Prop 38. We spoke about Prop 30 in the first half hour, and now we're talking about Prop 38. And you may want to not only, well, let us know what your own sentiments are, but ask questions to representatives from both the pro and con here. And as Daryl Steinberg has pointed out, he thinks that 38 is pretty well-intentioned, but in the interest of what he thinks is a better measure or proposition, obviously he feels that the vote should go to 30 rather than to both or rather than to 38. And you may want to let us know what you're voting for and why. And in fact, if you'd care to join us, please do now. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls and welcome your questions or comments. So feel free to join the program. Again, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us, and our email address is forum@kqed.org. Or post any questions or comments you have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Let me go back to Carol Kosovar. What about what Senator Steinberg said, Carol Kosovar, about balancing the budget and the necessity of balancing the budget, but also the fact that 38 as opposed to 30, I can imagine Jonathan Kupal might say something to the effect that this is a tax on everybody. There's a sliding scale, but everybody would have to pony up more.
So let me just talk about a couple of the things that Senator Steinberg mentioned, and I really do appreciate Senator's comments. As Senator, as we know, we've spoken a number of times about this.
Of course.
Let's talk first about the tax rates, because I think that there is a little bit of confusion here. Proposition 38 raises personal income taxes on a sliding scale. It raises the rates, but that doesn't mean it actually increases your taxes, because it is increasing the rates, but there are things called tax credits. And according to the independent legislative analyst, he says that these higher rates— remember I said it increases the rates but not the tax liability. These higher tax rates would result in a higher tax liability on approximately 60% of those who are paying those personal income taxes. So for 40%, they would not see an increase in their tax liability.
You're saying 40% would not have to pay more taxes.
Would not have to pay more taxes, and that's because of personal, dependent, senior, and other tax credits, among other things, that would continue to eliminate all tax liabilities for many lower income tax filers. Even if their tax bracket rate went up, that would not mean that they would pay additional taxes.
What about balancing the budget, though? The senator said that this can be done with 30. It can't be done with 38.
Well, I think that what we see in the budget right now, we have a budget that is based on Proposition 30's funding. It is not based on the funding that would come through when Proposition 38 passes. And many people have said that when Proposition 38 passes, it would be a game changer because the numbers would change from what is presently in the budget. And people have commented that with the knowledge that there will be a tremendous amount of money that will be available very quickly when Proposition 38 passes and when there is a vote, which I think both Senator Steinberg and I agree on, that it is absolutely essential that we increase revenues. When there is a vote that overwhelmingly says that we want to support our schools, I think that that is something that our elected officials would look at with the knowledge that there will be money that comes with Proposition 38. So Proposition 38 does one other thing, which I wanted to just mention in terms of helping to address the budget issue. During the first 4 years of Proposition 38, 30% of the money goes to pay for something called school facility bond debt. That's money that's presently paid out of the general fund. And that's $3 billion a year for four years. So, you know, over $12 billion over that time period. And that money can be used to free up money that can be decided by the legislature to pay for all the things that the senator and I and, you know, everyone believes are important for our social services, for our higher education. And so there is significant relief on the general fund side.
And that would include public safety, which, of course, 30 addresses, would it not?
The realignment is specifically allocated under 30 that goes directly to the counties. That's a different funding stream.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just wanted that to be clarified. Also, let me ask you one more thing, and then I want to go back to Senator Steinberg and bring our listeners into this. As my understanding, and you can disabuse me if this is not the case, that 38 would mean cutting the school year short with K to 12, and it would also, as I mentioned, Senator Steinberg, mean no money as opposed to 30 for community colleges or public universities.
Well, I think that there's something that needs to be clarified, is that neither Proposition 38 nor Proposition 30 specifically say how much money goes to the UC system or CSU system. Those are decisions that are in the budget itself. Mm-hmm. And so there is now a discussion that if Proposition 38 passes, and some of the money, remember I said that there's money that goes to pay for the school facility bonds, and that frees up money in the general fund. And the legislature could, because it is a very high priority, could decide that with that freed up money, they could say that's a high priority and we would use that to support higher education.
Let me hear from Senator Steinberg on this. And I ought to mention, Daryl Steinberg, that there is, according to many reports, I'm glad this has been a civil discussion, there's a lot of enmity and more caustic outbursts that have been going on between these two camps. There's a lot at stake here.
I just want to say that, because I've had a number of very good conversations with Senator Steinberg, I think that we all agree that the issue facing us is not fights among people over politics, but the issue that we're really trying to address is the future of education, the future of services for our children. And this is something that I very, very strongly believe that we need to speak about and understand the differences, but not,
No one's doubting the sincerity of both camps in terms of the concern for children, but there has been a good deal of enmity.
Well, let me put out a shout-out to the PTA and to Carol, because I think they were concerned, as was I, as many people were, about the negative ads that Molly Munger had put on the air attacking Prop 30. And yesterday, Ms. Munger announced that she's taking those ads down, and I think that is a good thing, because it allows us to have this kind of a discussion. Politics, is a contact sport, but this kind of debate should be civil. And we want to talk about the differences. And I appreciate what Carol says, but a lot of what you heard from her just now was a lot of hoped for. Hopefully the legislature would do this. Hopefully the voters would send a message, and then the legislature would find more money. But the numbers are the numbers here. While Prop 38 does, in fact, pay back and pay down some debt, freeing up some general fund money, the difference between that amount and the hole that and the amount that Prop 30 makes up on the non-education side is $3 billion at least. In other words, we would have to find, if 30 fails or if 38 gets more votes than 30, the legislature and the governor would have to find another $3 billion out of higher education, public safety, and health and human services. And those are the numbers. In addition, as I said earlier, Prop 38's education funding does not kick in until after 3 weeks of school have already been eliminated as a result of the trigger cut. So while Prop 38 is aspirational and it isn't the time, I mean, we need to pass Prop 30. And if that sends the kind of signal then that Carol speaks about, maybe in 2014, we come back, or the PTA, we all come back with looking at how we finance our public education system. But, you know, these cuts have been very real to a lot of people, and we now have a chance, finally, after 5 years, to end the era of deficit and begin a new era in California that focuses on investment, including investment in public education. That's why I feel so strongly that Prop 30 is not only the better measure, but it's a necessary measure in order to get this state back on track.
Well, we're getting a lot of strong sentiments from listeners. I want to just go through some of the emails here just to give you a flavor of the range of responses. Tricia writes, I agree that Prop 38 will be worth considering if the lifeline for education funding were not on the ballot this time, Prop 30. With such a huge threat to public education now, clearly the Munger Initiative, Prop 38, is a huge ego-driven ballot measure. As a public school parent, I would prefer Munger put $30 million into public schools and not spend it to support this measure at this time. 38 threatens the viability of the whole K through university funding in our state, our whole education system. Come on. Another listener, Dave in Alameda, says 38 is more fair than 30 because it spreads the bite around far more equally than 30. 30 targets one small group, which is very unfair vis-a-vis 30. And Ruth writes, I recently had a De Anza Community College professor for dinner. She reported that the cost for a credit hour at De Anza is $11. $11! I support and will vote for Prop 38 to assure that the additional tax that I do not really want to pay will go where it is needed most, K-12 education. And Angie from Berkeley says, I'll vote for both measures because we need the funding to support our children. Prop 38 would significantly increase funding for preschool and children birth to five, where the majority of brain development occurs and where we can really make the most difference. And Robert writes on our website, I'll be voting against both of these propositions. I don't have kids, and yet every election cycle I get hit with another education tax. If additional funding is needed, then the parents, the people who are accessing these services, need to step up, decrease the per-child tax credit instead of imposing a blanket sales tax. Let's just give you a sense of the range of opinions there. But here's a question about Prop 38 specifically. Carol Kosovar, you may want to respond. Listener says, I'd like to point out that the money from Prop 38 goes to individual schools, not school districts. However, school districts are usually the ones who pay the teachers. So how does Prop 38 reduce class size and bring back and retain teachers?
It very specifically says it can be used for that.
It's that simple.
I'd like to just talk a little bit about hope and aspiration. And I think that what's at stake here is the long-range look at a generation of children. And Proposition 38 is written not just to address today, but it is to address tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the 12 years of a generation of children who are in our schools. The idea behind Proposition 38 is that we can no longer fund our schools at the basement of funding in the nation. And what Proposition 38 does that is absolutely significant and important now is it lays a strategy and a path to move funding for public education from the basement in the nation up so that we can at least try to hold our heads up high and have children who have the skills necessary to compete in a global economy. We cannot wait any longer. We need to start now. I do not want to be here year after year after year having failed to do something significant for a whole generation of children.
All right. I want to bring our callers into this. And Eric, we begin with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Please.
I would be completely in favor of Proposition 38 if it didn't affect community college so disproportionately. I have to admit that I have a vested interest in this. I am a community college instructor. I know that our district is talking about very significant cuts if 38 passes.
Let me actually go to Senator Steinberg on this. Daryl Steinberg, we spoke earlier about the community colleges and public universities not being necessarily shepherded with more revenue under 38. And give us a sense of what would happen if 30 went down, 38 passed, or 30 just went down, as far as budgets and the future of the community colleges and the public universities.
There would be an automatic $250 million cut to the community colleges, in addition to $250 million for the UC and CSU. That's, again, because we wouldn't have the revenue to be able to continue to support all three systems at an already insufficient level. What would the consequence be of another $250 million cut across a piece, across all three systems? I hate to even predict or imagine it, but we know that fees would go up even higher. We know that there would be that much less access for students to be able to get into their classes or to get admitted in the first place. We are already on the verge of a private higher education system, private public education system in this state, because of the reduction in our state funding commitment over many years. We can't afford another $750 million worth of cuts to these three systems, and that would be a direct consequence of Proposition 30 going down, or Proposition 38, again, getting more votes than Proposition 30.
All right, we're less than a couple minutes here. I want a final statement from each of you, if you'd be so kind, for about 45 seconds or so. Carol Kosovar, why support 38?
I think it's pretty simple. We can no longer deny an entire generation of children the education that they deserve. Proposition 38 raises about $10 billion a year. It will help our K-12 system significantly, much, much more money for our K-12 system. It has significant amount of money for early childhood education, and it provides debt relief on the general fund side for 4 years with billions and billions of dollars. It's a smart investment in the future.
Final statement from you, Senator Steinberg.
Thank you. Prop 38 is well-intended, but the numbers don't add up. And you don't help this generation of children or future generations of children by continuing to hack at the funding for higher education. And you don't help this generation of children by allowing a trigger to be set off that eliminates 3 weeks of the school year. Prop 30 is necessary. It will balance California's budget. And then we can go forward to reinvest in ways that Prop 38 calls for.
Well, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you, Daryl Steinberg, California State Senate President Pro Tem, speaking out on behalf of NOAA Prop 38. And my thanks to Carol Kosovar, who is President of California State PTA, speaking out in favor of Prop 38. It's been a good civil debate. I thank you both. We'll return on Forum after the news.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegas Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.